Because I have to tell you about this week, man.
Ugh.
All right. Welcome to the Game Dads podcast. This is Game Dads Nights. Because we're actually recording in the evening for like maybe the first time or like the second time ever. Just felt significant enough to point out. I am one of your hosts, Aaron, and I'm joined by my, longest time best friend. And he can introduce himself.
I'm Brett, and I do what Nintendo don't.
Ladies, that's a guarantee. Okay, welcome to Game Dads. I just kind of want to start with the crazy week that I've been having, just because it needs to be put into words. Okay, so the last week and the beginning of this week, I did two very promising interviews for a new position at work, and I was very excited about it.
Awesome.
Did you get it? I have a third interview that is coming up on Monday, and I think that's the deciding interview, and once that one's done, then I'm like, it's yes or no. Like, that interview is the decider, and then, you know, I either get it or I don't. So I'm been very excited about that. I've been very fired up about it.
I can't wait to hear that you got hired as the chief operating officer of that ass.
All day, every day. So Friday, I get into work and my boss hits me up and he's like, hey, we need to talk about your end of the year review. And I'm like, cool. You know, this is my third end of the year review with this company. They're usually pretty chill. Just like, hey, here are your strong suits. Here are your weaknesses. You know, you got this amount of raise and blah, 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 and all that. So he's like, first off, you got a raise. I'm like, sweet. And he's like, second off, you got a promotion. I'm like, what? Well, what? He's like, yep, we're promoting you to ASA3. So now, you know, you're the next level up. And I'm like, cool. Do you guys know that I'm interviewing for another job right now? And he's like, yeah, but, you know, that doesn't take away from what you've been doing in this position. So I can't not give you your raise and your promotion just because you might be going somewhere else. So raise. And I'm like, promotion. I'm like, awesome. So
food for thought.
So that was cool. But I'm also in this zone where I'm like, but I'm trying to leave. Like, are you guys trying to indicate to me that that's not going to happen? Or are you just, you know, is it literally just like, here's your raise because you earned it? Like, I don't know. So I've been in a weird spot because of that, because it's just like a weird position to be in. Like, a week ago, my mom hits me up and she's like, hey, there's a family reunion in Washington, D.C. Do you want to go? And I was like, I'd love to go to D.C. So like, we started like making the initial plans for going on a DC trip with my family, which we've had family reunions before, but they're usually pretty low key. But like, when there's a Zoom call for this one, I was like, okay, I'm already intimidated that there's a family Zoom call happening now. So I get into this family Zoom call and it's like, this trip is going to be like 50, 60 people. My aunt like rented out an entire floor of this hotel for all of us to have rooms in. Like, there's going to be like a conference room where we're going to meet up and have a big family dinner. And we're going to, like, they have all these excursions planned. We're going to the White House and all this other stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, this is not the best first like big trip with my, you know, 4-year-old and 1-year-old, now it's like turning this huge thing. It's gonna be, I'm like, but I'd already like, I already got a rental car already, you know, me and my mom are already talking about hotel plans, so it's like way too far to back out now. But like, I did not realize how big this thing was gonna be. So
yeah, that's awesome.
So like, they were like, the conversations that were going on in the Zoom call where we're talking about, they were gonna like rent a Greyhound bus and like get all my family in this huge Greyhound bus and like drive them all from St. Louis all the way up to Washington, D.C. and all this. It was like, it was wild. I was like, I had no idea this was going to be this big.
That's going to be fun, though.
Yeah, I'm excited for it because, like when we lived in St. Louis, like, my mom is like a big, like, you'd be surprised of how me and my brother are, but like, my mom's like a big family person. Like, she, you know, cousins and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. She knows what twice removed means. She's a big family person. So like, this is like what she, you know, kind of is used to. But me and my brother are completely like, we moved just to from St. Louis to, you know, to Indiana, and we have been pretty much just us since. So like, we're gonna be thrown back into this huge big family setting for the first time. And it's been a crazy week. And then it topped off with this dishwasher thing. Oh my god. Okay. So me and Andrew, we've needed a new dishwasher for a long time. It's just the one that we have, we got with the house. It's, you know, a construction grade, so it's like the cheapest dishwasher you could possibly find. It's got a big old dial on it and stuff. Like, it's an old school dishwasher. So we've had that thing since we got the house, and it's just been getting crappier and crappier and crappier. So it was finally time to get a new one, and we went to Lowe's to like buy some random stuff. But like, we walk across these dishwashers that are sitting there in the scratch and dent section, and like, the dent that was on this dishwasher was so small that the employee who was helping us had to like get down on the floor and like turn his head and like get his clothes. Okay, here's the dent right here. This little pop right there, that's the dent. And I'm like, and this thing has never been used, never been installed, nothing. He's like, nope, someone bought it, got off the truck, saw that dent, returned it, and because it was actually made it to their house, it has to go in a scratch and dent section. And it's like, okie doke. Well, yeah, that sounds like free money. So we just were like, eh, fuck it, let's do it. And we bought ourselves a dishwasher. So, but when you go to the scratch and dent section and buy something, the installers at Lowe's don't install it. You gotta install it. So that means me and Andrea have to install it. So I went and picked it up.
You guys ever done that before?
Nope. Not even a little bit. But I did watch a YouTube video on it, and it was literally, there's a drain, their drain hose, very obviously marked. There's the pre-existing like hookup that we had for our old dishwasher that brings in the clean water, pretty obvious. Then the only thing that was a little was, this is the type of dishwasher that doesn't come with a power cord, where I actually had to like thread the wires myself. But I looked at the old one, I looked at the new one. It's three wires, the same three wires on both. All I had to do literally was take the old plug off the old one, thread the wires for the new into the new one, and plug it in. So that's free money. It's not that hard. So me and Andrea took it all out, took the old one out, put the new one in, started it up, and it worked. And we're like, yes, we did it. We are home improvement gods. Look out, Tim Allen, I'm coming for you. Ah, 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 ah. Like, all so happy. And then we took the kids to the park, and we put it on just like a cycle just to run it. And then when we came back, not like super terribly flooded, but the kitchen is like 1/8 flooded.
Did you put your hose clamp on there?
I had my hose clamps on, but what it was I had to go to the store and buy a dishwasher elbow, because for some reason the water intake lines that are installed in houses aren't the same size as the water intake valves in dishwashers, which makes no sense because dishwashers only go in houses. So what the fuck is the point of that? But I'm not going to argue with it. I was like, I went and bought one. I put it on. I put everything together. But when I put the new one on, the new one didn't have any plumber's tape on it.
Yeah.
So when we got back, flood, I had some plumber's tape in the house, luckily. So took that whole thing apart again, put some more plumber's tape on it, ran it again. This time when it ran, we didn't see any water dripping anywhere, and we haven't even put it back in the wall yet because we just want to wait and see if it will randomly start dripping or anything. So we're just giving it its time and space right now. But once I'm done with the podcast, I'm going to go check on it. And then if it's done, if it's not dripping, then I'll put it back in the wall. It's like the cool part about dishwashers, though, is like putting it in the wall is like you literally just push it into the hole and there's two screws. Like, that's it. Like, I could do that. Like, two screws, I'm good.
I hate plumbing, dude.
Absolutely.
I can do, and then I can talk about, like, you know, not to brag, but I was a plumbing specialist at Lowe's for a while. And, oh God, do I hate it so much. There's only one thing that I hate as much as plumbing, and it's electrical. I don't like doing anything with electricity.
Yeah.
Can't do that. I can absolutely do it. I just don't want to.
Like, it gives me a new strange, like, thought process that hadn't clicked into my head until I did this job. I wonder how much of my dad's quote unquote laziness was laziness, or him just being like, what are the chances that this is going to go sideways on me? And like weighing it out and being like, if I just say I can't do this, it'll be quicker and easier than me trying it and it going sideways. Like, was he lazy, or was he just thinking two steps ahead and then just choosing the more peaceful route?
I'm willing to bet it's probably more of the latter.
I
just, from my own experiences, like there's times where I just, you know what? I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I've got, I do pretty good, you know, money wise and all that stuff. So I would much rather, like, I feel like my time is valuable, and I would much rather have somebody else that's their job. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as it's, I mean, if I can do it pretty simply, you know, I'll do it, and that's no problem. But if somebody can come in and do it better than me, oh yeah, dude, I will absolutely pay that just so I don't have to have the headache.
Yeah, I think the thing about our house that like gets me and Andrea in trouble a lot is like me and Andrea are a really good team. We're really good at like covering each other's strong suit or weak points, and you know, like helping each other's strong suits. So like when something goes down, normally 99% of the time we can do it, but like our brains don't ever calculate, like, how much stress is this going to cause? Is it really worth it? Should we just not? And we got to work on it because, like, it's a thing we do all the time where, like, something like I said, a freaking scratch-and dent dishwasher, that'll save us it'll save us $400 if we buy the scratch-and dent one, but you got to put it together ourselves. Like, sometimes we just need to be like, screw this, pay the extra money, have the professional come put it in. But like I said, it's just because we're a good team, sometimes we end up like getting ourselves way underwater doing something that we shouldn't be doing.
Sometimes literally.
Yeah. That was literally, we were dancing in some puddles in our kitchen for a while. So yeah, but that has been my whirlwind week. Other than that, I like, it's been a thing that I've been not secretly, but just like casually dabbling in, been playing guitar, and I just casually, playing guitar isn't even the best way to word it. I am gradually and like slowly and painfully attempting to learn to play guitar. That seems like the better way to word that one. because
yeah,
I'm awful, like awful. But it's one of those things where like I spend so much time focused on, you know, programming and drawing and stuff like that, that like taking the time to like learn something that is more physical, more like it's less typing and less drawing and more like you got to move your hands and your fingers a certain way to be able to get the, and like it just like my brain has like is in this gear of like constantly taking in coding information and all this stuff, and then just like I take like 10 minutes out of the day to like practice guitar and like my brain is like, oh my God, fresh air. Oh, I can breathe. And then like, I can actually think again afterwards. So it's just, it's really refreshing, but I'm terrible. I'm God awful. Like, I don't know if like my fingers are just not built for a guitar because I'm like blobbing all over all the strings all the time when I'm trying to play chords, and I'm God awful, but
it's definitely tough, man. I can't do it.
Like it is. I have no shame in saying it. I am God awful, but it's just, it's refreshing just to be working on something new, and like a little bit of like, you know, programming is so much like memorization. Like, oh, you gotta know exactly what, you know, what this string does and that string does, and you gotta know what lambdas are, and you gotta know what, you know, all this other stuff. And it's just like, guitar is like fingers, chords, strum, like just do it. You just, the only way you're going to get better is just doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Like there's nothing else to it. Just pick up the guitar and play. That's all you can do. There's no trick.
Yeah. A lot of it's muscle memory, just teaching yourself how to, you know, where to position your fingers, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I repeat, I'm God awful.
One of my buddies growing up, man, he couldn't read music for, you know, to save his life, but he picked up a guitar one day and he taught himself how to play. And he did it through like listening to stuff. You know, he loves like, you know, metal and rock and all that good stuff. And yeah, he eventually got it, he, you know, good enough to where he, you know, joined a band and all that. But he couldn't read music. I still to this day do not understand that, but he's really, really good. So,
I
wish you the best, dude. I can't hit that. I can't even hit that that fifth button on the Guitar Hero. So.
I it's just a really refreshing thing in my brain. Like, it's like I have an app on my phone that's just like oh, I'll practice guitar. I think it only lets you practice for like the free version only lets you practice for like 15 minutes or something per day. Mm-hmm. So like it's nothing, but like when I'm like working my butt off at work and like something's like, and like I've been in the grind for like 3 hours trying to figure something out, or you know, typing up endless reports or whatever, and then like I'll just stop, I'm like, here's my 15 minute break, and my 15 minute break is gonna be me just playing guitar for 15 minutes. And like it's such a different part of your brain that like I'm like it's hard to explain, but like, it's like my brain is so relieved to be doing something else. Like it's much easier to get back into work afterwards instead of like grinding into more work over and over again for hours. So like I have been, yeah. It's just a random thing that I just started doing, but I've been like totally enjoying myself. Dom and Lee broke my first string because they were just baby smashing my guitar. And then I went to the Carmel Music Store in downtown Carmel, and I went and bought some new strings, and the guy looked at me like I was crazy. And one of the guys who works there, his name is like Woodrow or something, one of those like old president names that you've never heard anyone actually named in your life. And I was like, oh my God, if like I meet you in if I meet like a Sheldon, I've hit ridiculous name bingo. Like
that's awesome.
So like it's just been a really like random and fun experience, just, but like, guys, this is not like, oh, Aaron's gonna drop an album, Aaron's working on, no, I am not. I am awful at guitar. I just, it's fun to do. Sometimes it's fun to do something you're bad at.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool, man.
All right.
I wish I was musically inclined, but we don't really have much going on over here. Just a little guy, not so little anymore, celebrated his 12th birthday yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We took him out for his birthday last weekend, went to old Boss Battle Games in Castleton. So we got to play a bunch of really awesome arcade games and spent a little bit too much money. It's fun. So we did the Lego store and we gave him $200 and kind of set him loose. Nice. So he bought the Lego Atari. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but he made this entire, they've got the, it's, I think it's to scale as well, the Atari 2600. So he built that entirely out of Lego, which is pretty neat.
Nice.
Yeah. And I mean, actually kind of on theme with today's episode, I bought another Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm stocking up, dude. So when we get that apartment space refurbished and renovated and all that good stuff, we're going to have a bunch of Sega stuff out there, I think. Just older games. And I wanted a Model 2. Like, I've got a Model 3, and I've never had the Model 3 before, but I grew up with the Model 2, and I always liked that design a little bit more. So they had it at a pretty decent price in there, too, man. They had some pretty cool stuff over at Boss Battle. So still on the hunt for more Dreamcast stuff. I haven't really run across it in the wild just yet. Not a whole lot of Dreamcast or Saturn stuff, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Speaking of Dreamcast, I don't remember ever actually signing up for it, but I did at some point, but I am on a watch list for the arcade 1-Up Marvel vs. Capcom 2 arcade machine.
Oh, did that ever come out?
They got a new version for the new X-Men cartoon that's coming out. There's a new version of that arcade machine that's coming out, and it's going to be out in April. And I'm like, why do I have $500 to spend on a freaking Marvel vs. Capcom 2 arcade machine? I did just get a raise or could. I am struggling to not buy this thing because Marvel vs. Cap, as game, the Game Dads fans should know from previous episodes, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is on my top 10 games of all time list. And having the cabinet would mean I would never, ever have to worry about any of the shenanigans that have happened with copies of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in the past couple of years. So, like, that arcade cabinet is kind of calling to me. Like, I'm literally on the verge of buying it. Like, I'm so close to buying it.
Yeah, sell your PSVR2 for something you'll actually use.
Oh, burn. But that's a good.
That's not a burn on you. That's more on Sony and PSVR2.
Yeah. That I read an article that Sony has confirmed that they are working to make it compatible with PC.
They should have done that a long time ago.
Absolutely, 100%, like that, without question. But what I'm saying is, like, if I could, like, take my PSVR2 and, like, take it over to my computer and maybe run some, like, VR chat and stuff like that, then I'd get some use out of it, at least.
Yeah, or, like, play Half-Life Alyx on it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna hook it up to Steam or something, that'd be pretty cool.
Alright. Do you want to do what we're playing first before we get into the topic of the show today, or do you want to do it afterwards?
Yeah, we can do it first. That's fine. You want to go first? You want me to?
You go first, because mine is going to be pretty simple.
Okay. Yeah, dude, honestly, mine's pretty simple, too. We're not going to talk about it very much, but, like, right now I'm playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to get into it, to be perfectly honest, but the last couple of games I played before that, because I've been clearing out my backlog like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually played and beat Mafia Definitive Edition,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't played Mafia since the original Xbox. Great game, dude. Great story. It's one of those like quintessential like weekend style games. Like you pop in, it's 10 hours long. It's a pretty easy story to get through. Pretty definitive beginning, middle, and end, and it's over. And I loved it. Great. And then I ran through Resident Evil 2 remake again for like the 78th time.
Yeah, but say for like the millionth time because you're Brett.
The comfort food, man.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying. If I know like, Brett, then you've every. I won't say every, but most of the Resident Evil titles are like, you know, like junk food to you, like stuff that you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. Like, you know, some people curl up with a good book, and I just like to blow stuff up with a grenade launcher, you know.
You know, different strokes.
Yeah, dude. And it's awesome, too, because it feels like I've accomplished something. I can usually beat it in one sitting, and that's original and remake. Original, I can probably beat in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half if I'm just kind of poking around, if I'm rusty. But this one took me a couple hours to beat. I just looked Claire B. So it's a little bit rearranged from the original one. Yeah, dude, I was in and out and ready to go for Final Fantasy. So, yeah, nothing too crazy, but definitely just pretty on brand for Brett.
Mine is the classic. I was burning on Bloodborne until I got to Gearman, the freaking the first hunter guy, and he hit me with so much cheese, like, oh my god, that I had him down to a pixel of health. A pixel of health, and he one-shot me with a move that I had been hit by before and didn't die.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I was so frustrated, and it was the perfect amalgamation of frustrated. So I lost that fight, and then as soon as I like respawn, I see 10 blood vials, 12 bullets, and I'm like, so that means I'm out of blood vials, which means I have to grind for more blood vials and more bullets. I was so mad. And I was like, I was really trying to beat this before Final Fantasy came out so that we could have a clean break here, but I can't do it. I'm so mad. There's no way I'm going to spend the next 2 hours grinding blood vials and bullets to go back in there and fight him again. It's late. I'm going to bed. I went to bed, and then that was Thursday night. And then I woke up on Friday and went to the store and bought Final Fantasy VII. And brought it home, and I stopped thinking about Bloodborne entirely.
So we closing the chapter on the old Yharnam.
When I finish Final Fantasy, I will go back to Bloodborne at least to beat him. And if I've got to like go fight another boss or two, if I got to grind some blood vials, whatever I have to do to get there, I will beat him. But just. Once I booted up Final Fantasy and I played it for like 10 minutes, I was like, oh my god, this is so nice. Yeah. It's so beautiful, and everything in the game feels good, and I can be Red 13 and fight things, and I don't want to say anything else because it's the game's too new for us to be talking about it that much, but like it was like, okay, the best way I can explain it is Bloodborne is like chugging Mountain Dew. Just blasting back some Mountain Dews until your freaking the hairs on your neck stand on end. And then like after I blasted Mountain Dew for like 4 weeks straight, someone just hands me a nice like crisp glass of water with like a little sprinkle of lime in it and some mint sprigs. And then I took a sip of it. And I was like, oh my god. Oh, that's so, this feels so good. It feels so good. And I'm like, please, two more of those beautiful glasses. And I'm just chugging them. Like, it's so nice. Yeah,
we'll talk about some of it more down the line, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure we will, because, like, I sent you that text. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was saying, I've completely unsubscribed from the internet.
Yeah.
Until I finish it.
Yeah, I'm not looking at anything. Like, not at all. Because, like, I don't want a single, like, I don't want to talk about it because it's new and it's fair for people to be like, no spoilers. But, like, when I opened the game up and that first part of the game happens, I was like, my eyes were wide open. Andrew's looking at me like, what? And I'm like,
Nope.
I was like, okay.
Nope.
Yep. Yep. Okay. We gotta stop talking about it, or I'm gonna lose it, because so refreshing. Okay. So let us go on to our topic of the day. And last podcast, we were pretty much like, yep, this is what we're gonna do. And we were both prepared. We have chatted about it a little bit and we were prepared. So basically what we're going to do is both of us have put together a list of what we would consider the games that should be included if they ever make a Dreamcast classic, like the Super Nintendo classic and the PlayStation classic. Like what I was trying to go for a well-rounded look at everything that the Dreamcast had to offer, but also I was also trying to be like, I was trying to stick to things that I felt like were like quintessentially Dreamcast. Like, you know, every system has, you know, like their Maddens and their, you know, their 2Ks and all of that stuff. I was trying to not include games like that, but I'm not saying like sports games in general, but just games that like get released for every system, you know, are, you know, iterations upon iterations that were just because this Xbox, this system was in this era, it got this version of this game. Like, I was trying to avoid that as much as possible. I wanted to stick to things that like felt like Dreamcast.
Yep. And that's what I got to. Yeah. First, I wanted to say, before we get into it, I wanted to whisper it right into your ear.
Mm-hmm. God.
So before we get into our list, I did kind of want to talk about the Dreamcast just a little bit. So, like, dude, I collected from the Dreamcast. I didn't get mine till later. I don't remember exactly when I got it, but I remember playing over at your house. Like, you guys got a Japanese one.
So it's such a perfect contrast, because my Dreamcast, I literally had a Dreamcast before they were released in the United States. Like, my Dreamcast, me and my brother and a couple of friends went to Anime Expo the year that the Dreamcast dropped in Japan, and they had them at Anime Expo, but they were Japanese Dreamcasts. So we pulled our money together to buy one that like had to share. We had to share and like rotate between all of our houses.
Yeah. I still remember playing Sonic Adventure over your guys' house, and it kind of blew my mind, but that's kind of what influenced my decision to buy one and then to start collecting for it. But its life was cut tragically short. I mean, the PlayStation 2 kind of came in and just ate it once, but the Dreamcast was so good. And I, to be fair too, like, it didn't have the third party support, and they were coming off of, you know, the Saturn and all the different things that they had at the end of the Genesis. So, I mean, they were already coming into the generation kind of fumbling. But, dude, like, if ever there was a strong showing for Sega, dude, it was the Dreamcast.
Absolutely.
Especially right out of the gate. So the marketing was great. You know, they had the date, the $99.99.
Mm-hmm.
The price was perfect. You know, it was $199 when it came out. By my calculations here, and I've been kind of going back and forth, I always thought that I had it close to a... I had to sell all that stuff when we moved apartments and all that, but there were according to Wikipedia, 248 North American games released for it. But in total, there were about 600 something released across all regions. So I had some imports, but like I had a pretty solid library. And dude, it had everything. It had platformers. It had RPGs. It had sports games. Like, if you love sports, dude, that was the console to have. You know, even before the Xbox, it was a hit at parties. Dude, fighting games. Dude, it was a fighting game and arcade machine. Awesome. Man,
I like the like. There's so many of like these little like weird fighting games that showed up on that freaking Dreamcast. It like. When I was going through my list, I had to like I was remembering all of like the fighting games that I played on Dreamcast, and I had to go, okay, which Street Fighter do I pick of these Street Fighters? Like, which one? Because like each one had its own, like, but like which one? Like, there's so many choices I made on here that were just like, I have to base it off. I'm trying to base this off of what feels best to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I had to like take, like, when I started my list, I started writing it. I was at 35 when I started. I boiled it down. I got it down to 25. But like, what I had to end up doing was like, we set the number at 21.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to like, look into my soul and like, which of these 25 games, these 21 games do I think needs to be there, and which ones are going to fall sadly into my honorable mentions. And there are a couple that are in there that I debated about for 30 minutes before they finally ended up landing in the honorable mention spot.
Well, I went ahead. I didn't do honorable mentions. I wanted to keep it pretty succinct. I'm a little embarrassed. I had a little over 60 on my first, and I whittled it from 60 down to about 30. And then I started thinking of like, okay, what are like the games? And it's not necessarily like everything that I love, because I love everything. That's pretty well documented. I love everything. But what if somebody was to pick up a Dreamcast in 2024, what games would I recommend them play? And I feel like mine are like, maybe a couple of them are a little obscure maybe, but like I think that it's especially in my list, like I think you and I are probably going to come up with a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
But I think that like, I'm not gonna, like, for example, I love Evil Dead Hail to the King.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna put that on the list. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say like, hey, you're buying a Dreamcast in 2024, you need to play this stupid Evil Dead game. Nah, I'm not gonna do that. But I do think it's funny that when I try to type out the word Grandia, that my phone wants to say Grandma.
Aww. Maybe it's like a hint. It's like, call your grandma. Okay. I want to start by saying this is in the order that I thought of them and then shuffled them around. This is not a ranking in any way, shape, or form.
Well, number one, I know you and I both have to say it at the same time, probably. It's got to be Sonic Adventure, right?
Again, mine is not a ranking system, but mine is Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Okay. Well, again, not the best game, but... Oh, no, I'm not talking about Marvel vs. Capcom, but like not leading off with the best game or a ranking or anything like that. So I also have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on mine.
Yeah, and I mean, you know I have Sonic Adventure on mine. That's not a thing you're going to debate about. But mine, like I said, mine isn't an order. It's just a list. So so it sounds like Marvel vs. Capcom is definitively on our official list.
Oh, yeah. It has to be.
Yeah, for sure.
When I think of Dreamcast fighting games, my mind goes to immediately to two things. And the other one is on my list as well. I'm sure it's on yours, but Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is definitely on it. But then even like,
mine goes to three things. And the first one is in my honorable mentions because I wanted Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I feel like I don't want to use the word superior, but I feel like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 improved on everything in Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and deserves to be higher on the list. Ish.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put the Marvel vs. Capcom 1 in my honorable mentions just because it was on the list and then other things just kind of pushed it down. But
so must have typing this out. We are going to make this the list definitive. So number one is Marvel vs. Capcom 2. We agree.
And you said there are two fighting games that you think of when you think of. I think of three.
Technically four. But the other one is Soul Calibur.
Yeah, Soul Calibur's on my list too.
That was a launch game too.
God, Soul Calibur.
I've got these pulled up here because I kind of wanted to go through like release dates and stuff as well.
Okay.
Like I've got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 releasing it February 24th of the year 2000. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Wife needs me for a quick second. I will be right back. Just got to make sure to remember to edit that out. Okay, I'm back.
Yep.
So, Soul Calibur.
Yep, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2. We got Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur is one of those. It still holds up today, like especially that first one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have trouble playing Soul Calibur 1 on other systems.
Yeah, my muscle memory goes to just I wouldn't necessarily consider the Dreamcast controller perfect, but dude, it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so originally you said two, and I was definitely thinking number one, Marvel vs. Capcom
2. I think we have four.
Number two, Soul Calibur. My number three is Power Stone.
Yeah, I've got Power Stone on my list as well. Specifically Power Stone 1.
Yep, mine is Power Stone 1 and Power Stone 2 is in my honorable mentions.
I like Power Stone 2 a lot. Power Stone was actually really popular at parties.
Yeah.
For people that didn't, like, they were like a pick up and play style game, like kind of what Smash Brothers was. I always, people are going to hate me. I actually like Power Stone more than I like Smash Brothers. So they've always kind of like that party style fighting game.
Yeah.
I love Power Stone.
Yeah, Power Stone's awesome.
The other fighting game I was thinking about was Dead or Alive 2.
I didn't have Dead or Alive 2 on my list.
Okay. We can put that as a... We can debate that one.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to put a little star next to that one. Wherever it may be. Where'd I do? Where'd it go? Where's that?
There it is. For the sake of keeping this organized, we should probably just go all the way down through our lists instead of jumping around.
Okay.
So my number one was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. My number two was Power Stone.
Okay.
My number one is,
go through your whole list.
Okay. Yeah. My number three is Jet Set Radio, of course.
Okay. All mine too.
Number four, Skies of Arcadia.
All mine.
Number five, Sonic Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Number six, Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Yep.
Number seven, Grandia 2.
Yeah.
Number eight, this is going to be a controversial one, but it holds a place in my heart. Samba de Amiga.
On my list.
Yes. Number nine, Phantasy Star Online.
Not on mine.
I'll debate that one with you. Phantasy Star Online needs to be on there. Number 10, Space Channel 5.
Not on mine, but I was thinking about it.
I won't debate that one with you. If you're talking Dreamcast, Space Channel 5 has to be on there.
I got some that'll... Keep going.
Okay. Number 11, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Not on mine, but it was. It easily could have been.
Number 12, I'm going to say this is my controversial pick of my list. San Francisco Rush 2049.
I was between that and Sega GT, and I picked Sega GT.
Okay, that one is my controversial pick. If we scrub this list out and that one's like on the table, I can let that one go. That's a personal pick, but I still love it. Number 13, Bomberman Online. Number 14, Choo Choo Rocket. I won't argue this one.
That is also on my list.
Okay. I will not argue that Choo Choo Rocket needs to be on there. Let's see. Number 15, Typing of the Dead.
It's not on mine.
I on that one, I was like, which one do I think is more quintessentially Dreamcast? House of the Dead 2 or Typing of the Dead? And I was like, I've got to put Typing of the Dead on here. So House of the Dead 2 went into my honorable mentions.
I didn't put any light gun games on there, even though I really wanted to.
I
love the light gun games.
Freaking Typing of the Dead was my jam. Like, there's no way I wasn't going to put Typing of the Dead on this list. Okay, so the last couple are another one of my personal picks that I feel is very strong for the Xbox, but other people might not, so I won't be upset if it doesn't make it. Freaking Echo the Dolphin.
I almost put that on mine, but I like the Sega Genesis and Sega CD ones are a little more iconic to me. Dreamcast, it was good. It was on my list. Like, when I whittled it down from like 60 something to like 30 something, Echo was still on there.
Okay. And then my last couple are these are all gonna probably end up on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Shenmue, the original Shenmue.
I have that on mine too, but I don't like Shenmue.
I like Shenmue, but like, I can understand where people don't like it, but I do feel like it's quintessentially Dreamcast.
Like, in my opinion, go ahead.
I feel like it's one of those games that, like, when someone goes, oh man, you know, what games were there for a Dreamcast? Shenmue's gonna come up.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, where I may not, it's not my favorite game. And in fact, like, Yakuza is actually a better version of Shenmue. I do think that they're pretty, not necessarily apples to apples, but like close.
Yeah, they aren't apples to apples, but they fell off the same tree.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great analogy. What else you got?
Okay, so Shenmue, and then after that, Crazy Taxi. I won't argue that one.
Yep. No, that's on there.
Yeah. And then these last two. I'm a little, so like, next is Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur is going to be on the list.
Oh yeah.
Sonic Adventure 2. I was like, I love Sonic Adventure 2, but having Sonic Adventure 1 on the list makes me like, oh, okay, I could kind of see this one not being on there just because Sonic Adventure 1 is on there.
In my opinion, even though I don't like Adventure 2 as much as I like Adventure, I thought they both have to be on there.
Yeah, but they're both on my list for that reason. I was like, it's Dreamcast. Like,
yeah, I think Adventure 2 identifies more as a GameCube game than it does a Dreamcast game. Even though I played it first on Dreamcast.
I'm about to say, I hear you, but just because it's better on better on GameCube doesn't, like.
No,
GameCube has so many games that are as quintessentially GameCube games. I don't feel like,
yeah,
I don't feel like it needs Sonic Adventure 2, but like, I hear what you're saying, because it's way better on GameCube.
The novelty of Sonic Adventure 2 and Sonic Heroes being on Nintendo consoles was, that's kind of where I'm thinking of it as a GameCube game more than a Dreamcast game, but I prefer it on Dreamcast.
Okay, and then my last one, my number 21, Legacy of Kain.
Dude, I almost put that on mine. The reason why I didn't, because I actually kind of thought of it more as a PlayStation game than I did a Dreamcast game, but it was on there. And, like, it was, oh God, I feel like a fool.
Okay. All right. Give me yours.
All right. Number one, Sonic Adventure. Number two, Sonic Adventure 2. Number three, Resident Evil Code Veronica. And I'm not going to debate that one. That one has to be on there. That one has to, like, it was the first Resident Evil to release outside of PlayStation exclusively for another platform. Huge. And it's the true sequel to Resident Evil 2. So, Crazy Taxi, number four. Mm-hmm. Five is Marvel versus Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. Number six is Skies of Arcadia. Mm-hmm. Seven is Jet Set Radio. Eight is Power Stone. Nine, Shenmue. 10 was not a North American game, but I imported it. Ikaruga.
Oh, Ikaruga was like, the only reason that I didn't put Ikaruga on my list was because I was like, this is one of those games that's on like multiple consoles at the same time. I don't know if it came to Dreamcast first, but it was on other consoles. That's the only reason it's not on my list.
It was from the sleuthing I just did on the internet. It was around 2002 when it came out. I imported it later, but I never imported games like ever. But like Ikaruga was one of those that like, it was so, and it came to other consoles. I think it was on GameCube as well. But, and then it, you know, came to Xbox 360 and all that other stuff. But like, I see it as a Dreamcast game.
Like on my iffy spots, I would absolutely give one of my iffy spots up for Ikaruga, because I put it on the list, but I was like, I'm trying to make sure these games are kind of Xbox or kind of Dreamcast like feeling, and I know Ikaruga from playing it on PlayStation. Like I don't think I ever played it on Dreamcast.
Yeah, again, one of the few things I ever actually imported. I don't like reading I can't read Japanese, but like that one, you don't have to be able to read it. 11 is Soul Calibur.
Hell yeah.
12 is Samba de Amigo.
Hell yeah.
13 is Virtua Tennis 2. And the reason why I picked the sports game is because Virtua Tennis 2 rules. Tennis, I don't like tennis, but that game is just so good. But it's also kind of an Xbox game as well. So I could be coerced into moving that off of mine. Same thing with number 14. I've got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yep. I had Tony Hawk on my list, but Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 will forever be trapped on PlayStation for me. It is a PlayStation game.
Yeah. 15 is Hydro Thunder. Did you ever play Hydro Thunder?
I know of Hydro Thunder, but I've never played it personally.
That's one that I see as a Dreamcast game, but I guess it was also on, was N64. So again, I could be coerced into taking it off of there. 16 is Dead or Alive 2. 17 is Sega GT Racing. Mm-hmm. 18 is Blue Stinger. I like that one.
I know of Blue Stinger, but I never played it.
Yeah, and I can be, we've got Resident Evil on there, so our survival horror is already covered. I could be coerced into that one. 19 is kind of it's a personal favorite of mine, but people don't really like it. Evolution. Yeah, I mean, Dreamcast didn't have a whole lot of JRPGs, but I think that one was published by Ubisoft. Really weird. Mm. 20 is Choo Choo Rocket.
Yes.
And 21 is Grandia 2.
Yes. So basically, our lists are identical except for like five games. Almost all of the five games that aren't identical, we are both like, this is personal to me. I could see it either way.
Yeah. So, all right. When I was typing stuff out just a moment ago, we both kind of decided on Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Yes.
Soul Calibur and Power Stone are staying.
Yes. Right? Absolutely.
Okay. How do we feel about Sonic Adventure? That's staying, right?
Sonic Adventure 1 for sure.
All right. I'm cool with getting rid of 2. But we can leave that one kind of on the bubble if you want to. What's another one from your list that has to stay?
I'm willing to argue for Phantasy Star Online.
I think, even though it's not like necessarily iconic to me, I didn't play it very much. I had it, but I didn't play. I don't play online games like that. That has a special place in a lot of people's hearts, and it's still going today.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. It's still going. It's like a, almost a 30-year-old, it's a 20-year-old game, a 20-year-old MMO that is still going. Like,
yeah,
I'd argue for Phantasy Star Online to be on there. It's iconic. And it's like,
yeah, and I'll agree.
Yeah, they okay, so Dreamcast was like the first people to actually like put like an online capability in their system at all. And it was originally it was for, I think it was actually for Bomberman, but it was utilized for Phantasy Star Online, and people like, it was like the first time you could actually get into like an MMO with other people and play. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not saying there's like the first MMO ever, because you know PC players have been playing MMOs in certain varieties for years, but I do think it's the first MMO that was, you were able to play on a console.
Console, yeah, definitely.
So like,
Crazy Taxi's got to stay.
Yeah, no question. Crazy Taxi has to stay. And there's apparently big Crazy Taxi news that just came out recently.
Ooh, I need to know.
I can't remember what specifically, but like I know that people are saying like it's kind of worrying me, because like I'm not one of those people who like just shuts down people's ideas and like, oh, just do what you did the first time. Like I'm not about that life. Like if you've got an idea that you think is, you know, worth exploring, but like people are saying it's going to be very big, and I'm like, how do you make Crazy Taxi big? Like a big city? Like that kind of defeats the point of Crazy Taxi, because Crazy Taxi is about learning the fastest routes to every place and then like figuring out ways to rack up points. So if you got a freaking Skyrim city to drive around in, then I don't know. But all I'm saying is Crazy Taxi rules, and I'm absolutely, it's a must have on the Dreamcast Classic, period. Like,
I have three words to describe Crazy Taxi. Actually, not three. Maybe five? Yeah.
It's time to make some crazy money. Are y'all ready?
Oh, gosh. Dude, Drake played that so much at Boss Battle the other day. So proud.
Crazy Taxi's so good. Like, I can't believe, like, it's one of those amazing things that video games does that makes no sense at all. Like, how many racing games exist in the world? And then someone was like, but what if instead of racing, you were in a cab and you were trying to drive someone to Kentucky Fried Chicken in under 20 seconds? And
take me to KFC.
It's awesome. It's so good. But like, what? Like,
take me to Pizza Hut.
Take me to Pizza Hut. You better move your butt. Dang it.
Take me to hell.
Oh my God. Crazy Taxi. Well, I could talk all day about it, but Crazy Taxi. And also just as like another thing, like Offspring and Bad Religion, like music in the game, it's required. I've seen the new versions of Crazy Taxi that don't have the licensed music, and they're not as fun, and I can't explain it.
Yeah, I just thought Crazy Taxi is still backwards compatible on Xbox Series X. It's the 360 version, but it doesn't have the Offspring in it. It's still fine, but sometimes, dude, just that the licensed music, and for some reason, Pizza Hut and Levi's jean make a big difference in that game.
I know it shouldn't. And I know it's my millennial me just like pouring out of me, and I can't stop it. But like, I love all the music in Crazy Taxi. And like you said, the Levi's jeans and KFC and the Pizza Hut. It's like driving in your hometown. There's like a special feeling you get when you drive in the place where you learn to drive, and you get that same feeling playing Crazy Taxi. It's awesome.
Yep. It's like your hometown, but there's a Pizza Hut on every corner. All right. I just want to get out of the way. Resident Evil.
Yep.
That's staying.
Yep. It's, I mean, it's on both of our lists, so yes.
It's so good. what else we got here?
Samba Amigo is on both of our lists.
Samba de Amigo. All right. Samba de Amigo. All right, number nine. Where we got?
My number nine is Space, or my number 10 is Space, is a Space Channel 5, and that's on the list.
Like I said, I had it on mine. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but I think if you're talking about Dreamcast, you got to talk about Space Channel 5.
It's one of those situations where, I mean, I love goofy Japanese shit, so it's perfectly logical that it's on my list. But like, when I think about Dreamcast and I think about like the uniqueness of Dreamcast, Space Channel 5 is one of those games that like it, I can give you that it's not the greatest, it's not great on the level of Marvel vs. Capcom or Sonic Adventure or even Power Stone, but it's still very Dreamcast.
Yeah. And see, I feel the same way about Skies of Arcadia. Like, I don't think they had a lot of high profile RPGs, but like Skies of Arcadia is when I think of RPGs on the Dreamcast, that's the one that I go to. You didn't have that one on your list, did you?
Skies of Arcadia? Yeah, that's my number four.
Yeah. Okay, so that stays.
Yeah.
We probably should have sent our list to each other.
I didn't want like
crossover, or like not crossover, but like me influencing you and you influencing me.
Yeah, sorry audience, but part of this podcast and why it's fun is because I like hearing your ideas raw, because like we think similarly in like 80% of the way we think, and then there's that 20% that's like,
but I break out virtual tennis.
Yeah, that you break out virtual tennis, and I bust out Legend of Kane, Legacy of Kane, which I just, my brother played it so much that like it screams Dreamcast to me. The sequel and the original are all Xbox games now, and you can play the crap out of them on Xbox. It screams Dreamcast to me.
Right.
And it screams Kent, because like it's like. Kane is like the edgiest edgelord of all edgelords. It's so up my brother's alley. Like, it's so bad.
I still can't play Castlevania without thinking about your brother.
I can't see a screenshot from Symphony of the Night without A, knowing exactly where on the goddamn map it is, and thinking of my brother. I can still pinpoint screenshots on the map of exactly where they are 20 years later. Jet Set Radio is on my list.
All right. Jet Set Radio. Or the 12. What else do you want on there?
Okay.
Tell me on one of the ones that wasn't on mine.
My, all of my have to's are already on there. So, I think the only one that's left. Did you have Choo Choo Rocket on yours?
Oh, you had Choo Choo Rocket? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Of course I did.
Okay. 80 and 20, I know. Like okay. Bomberman Online. Okay. So here's the Go ahead.
Oh, I'm not an online gamer. I'm really not. I love Bomberman though. I think that
I also love Bomberman. Some of those really like sometimes a really, really simple concept can like, but like you put it in the right environment and it can just tap your brain in a way that's so perfect and it makes it so fun. But like Bomberman's has representation all over the place. So I'm not going to sit here and like scream bloody murder if Bomberman is not on this list, but like personally, I love me some Bomberman.
I think Bomberman probably, that one definitely deserves to be on there more than like a Blue Stinger. I think even I think Blue Stinger is more of like a cult type favorite. You know, it's definitely up my alley, but I would say Bomberman over Blue Stinger. I do think Sega GT needs to be on it though. Okay. I like your San Francisco Rush though.
Yeah, that's I had the exact same thing when I was looking at Dreamcast games. I saw Sega GT, but the reason that I put San Francisco Rush was just because San Francisco Rush was the game that I had and the game that I played. It wasn't, I think it's more iconic, or I think it's more, you know, Dreamcast. It was just, it's the one of the two rig games that I had.
Okay.
So I'm not going to fight you tooth and nail to keep it on here.
Oh, definitely not. No. It's not that type of list. I'm with you, I think, on San Francisco Rush. I like the arcadiness of it, and I think arcadiness speaks more to what Dreamcast is. Sega GT is not necessarily as iconic as San Francisco Rush. So I think that one deserves to be on it, San Francisco.
Okay. The only other game that I would fight to keep on the list is Typing of the Dead, but I would fight for it if there's not something better on the list. Like if we get down to like the nothing category and we still have room left on the list, I would put Typing of the Dead on there. But if we knock this whole list out with absolutely solid choices, then I would be fine with it being an honorable mentions.
No, I agree with you. I think that the Dreamcast had such a great light gun catalog that I think Typing of the Dead, for just being as fucking weird as it is, I think that one definitely deserves it. Like, if it wasn't Typing of the Dead, I would definitely say House of the Dead. Was it Time Crisis? There was another light gun game on the Dreamcast that was really good too, but I think that
Time Crisis is the one you're talking about.
Time Crisis, okay. I think that the Of the Dead games, whether it's House or Typing of the Dead, and like you definitely love Typing of the Dead, I would say that one needs to be on there. I will advocate though for, I know we've got Shenmue and all that stuff. Like, I think that one definitely deserves to be on it, even though it's not my favorite, but I would still probably advocate for Virtua Tennis. Maybe as a last number 21, just because of like the Sega Sports line was so good on the Dreamcast. Like the Visual Concepts games with like the 2K, those things are still going today.
I do feel like that's the one thing that our lists kind of lack, and that kind of reflects on us as people. But Dreamcast Dreamcast had tons of sports games and tons of like racing games and stuff like that. And I think, I mean, for me personally, I just know that I was like, San Francisco Rush just is just weird enough to grab me personally, but it also had like some very good like simulator game, like not silly
NBA 2K specifically, and NHL 2K are some of my favorite on the Dreamcast. NFL 2K1 is still really good, but if we're talking we got this box on a store shelf and we're trying to sell it, like I don't think, and we're trying to sell to a broad audience, I don't know if that's necessarily what I would put on there, even though I would like it. But I would say Virtual Tennis is probably going to be what I would put on there to represent Sega Sports.
Yeah. I think the best way for me to word this, and this is my perspective, so don't come at me, but I feel like if we're talking about it from not purely like these are the best games on the Dreamcast, we're looking at it from angle, but we're also looking at it from like, these are the games that represent the Dreamcast. And like, I don't feel like a lot of people pick up something like a collection like this to play, you know, sports game that was released that year, like specifically, like Dreamcast and every console has, you know, at least five of those kind of like year after year sports games. And like, nobody's picking up a collection to get one of those specific games. Like, unless we're talking about like, I don't know, NBA Jam or something like that. It's just not, it doesn't, those games don't represent the console that they're on. So that's kind of why they're left off of our, at least on my list.
My best like example of that is like the N64 with the Aki wrestling games and the UX wrestling games, mm-hmm. like WCW Revenge and WWF No Mercy and all that stuff. Like those transcend yearly sports titles.
Yeah. Our garage was lit up with the freaking No Mercy for so long.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. Yep.
It was our garage, the garage that we played games in was literally like, if it wasn't GoldenEye coming out of the out of there, it was No Mercy. It was ridiculous. We played the game so much.
Yeah. Man, there were like, what, sometimes 20 kids in there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
sometimes more?
And literally just like rotating controllers and, someone, gets pinned or thrown out the ring and then you lose your controller and the next person just picks up and plays whatever wrestler comes into the freaking Royal Rumble next.
Yep.
Okay.
We could talk about that all night, dude.
For real. Back to the list.
All right. We're at 16.
Okay. My 16 is Echo the Dolphin. I'm not going to fight too hard for this one.
I don't know. What else we got? I would say.
That is.
Like, what? So far, we've got Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Soul Calibur, Power Stone, Sonic Adventure, Phantasy Star Online, Crazy Taxi, Resident Evil Code Veronica, Samba de Amigo, Space Channel 5, Skies of Arcadia, Jet Set Radio, Choo Choo Rocket, Bomberman Online, San Francisco Rush, Typing of the Dead.
Okay.
Shenmue,
definitely.
Okay.
Of my have-tos, I think all of them are there. So
Grandia?
Oh, Grandia 2. Yeah, needs to be on there.
I do think that Ikaruga needs to be on there.
I'll take Ikaruga.
Even though it's not a North American game, like the Super Nintendo Classic still had Star Fox 2, It's one of those like unreleased North American titles I think everybody would love. Plus, dude, it's treasure,
Ikaruga is dope. Does Big Boss have an Ikaruga machine? I feel like they do. I feel like.
No, they've got a Darius machine.
Oh, it was Darius. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
I've never played a bullet hell like that in an arcade before. Like, that machine's usually occupied by people. Same thing with the X-Men machine. I got terrible motion sickness from that game.
Dude,
it was awful. I'm getting too old.
I made one of the worst mistakes I've made in a long time with that machine specifically. So it was a random day. I don't know what came over me, but I went to the gym. Then after I left the gym, I was in the mall for some reason. Then I stopped in that arcade. Then I played DDR. And then after I got done playing DDR, I wanted to sit down for a second. So I was like, why don't I just sit down and play some Darius? And I sat down and like, I don't know if this happens to other people, but like if I do like a big workout and I work out really well, like my body doesn't like start sweating until like after I like stop. Like I have to like come to a stop and then my body will be like, oh, he's done moving. Okay. Now it's time to sweat. So like I did basically two workouts in a row and then sat down in that Ikaruga machine and started sweating so bad that I'm pretty sure I left like a swamp ass print on the bench. I felt really bad because I was like, I'm just going to wipe this up with my shirt. But whoever comes in here next is going, it's moist in here. Like, I'm sorry, fellow arcade people.
Okay.
We got three spots open, and I don't think that most of mine, I don't know how much I would, like, the only ones I have left from mine that we haven't agreed on, Virtua Tennis 2, Tony Hawk, Hydro Thunder, Sega GT, which we've already discussed, we're putting the other one on, Blue Stinger, and Evolution.
Okay.
What do you got from yours?
Street Fighter Third Strike. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. Did we discuss?
I'd say Street Fighter.
I'd take I love Third Strike. I played way too much of it on freaking Dreamcast. It's memories for me. It's just straight memories. And since we're at this point where we're kind of discussing, I have one game in my honorable mentions that personally I feel like it sings of other consoles, which is why it's in my honorable mentions. But since we're like kind of in the nitty gritty of it, I kind of want to bring it up just to see what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Rez.
Dang dog.
The only reason it's not on my list is because it sings of other consoles to me. Like, it's not, I don't get a distinctly Xbox vibe from it, but, or a Dreamcast vibe from it, but like, it is a Dreamcast game that could be on this list. And I'm only going to bring this up because my other like real honorable mention that's not a sequel or a previous that's like better, that the original or the sequel is better, like I have Marvel vs. Capcom 1 in my honorable mentions, I have Power Stone 2 in my honorable mentions, and I have Crazy Taxi 2 in my honorable mentions. But the only other one is Project Justice. I don't know if you know Project Justice. Sort of sequel, sort of not sequel to Rival Schools.
All right, that's a complete blind spot for me, dude. I know of Rival Schools, I just don't know much about it.
Yeah, it's one of those weird Japanesey fighting games that has a complete roster of weird Japanese fighting game characters that are just... I played the crap out of Rival Schools, and then I played the crap out of Project Justice. So I'm like, I don't know if this is like, if this was a my favorite Dreamcast games list, that would definitely be on there. But in a games that represent the Dreamcast, I feel like you can't like drop a weird Japanese fighting game that's a sequel to another weird Japanese fighting game where we're not including the original and the original's on a different system. Like, it just, there's too much there for me to be like, Project Justice needs to be on the list. But I honorable mention, at least.
That's Capcom, right?
Yeah. And I also was thinking about Capcom versus SNK and Capcom versus SNK 2, but they're in that same boat where it's like, I'm just throwing a game full of random fighting characters in this representing the Dreamcast thing, and then the random characters are from a different game that isn't on Dreamcast, which, like, I just, like, I wanted to put those on there because I love both, but, like, it felt like too much baggage for a Dreamcast classic.
King of Fighters is on Dreamcast.
King of Fighters was also on my list too, but same thing.
Yeah. Well, that's SNK, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think of PlayStation when I think of King of Fighters too. I thought there was too many good games.
So what do you think about Rez?
I think of motion sickness. I like Rez. Actually, you know, I think there are better versions of Rez. Like Rez Infinite's really good. Hmm. There's a VR version of Rez. Like, I don't know if it's PSVR.
That made my stomach drop just thinking about it.
Yeah, mine too. And that, what is his name that made that game? Because he just made a Tetris Effect. Gosh, I can't think of his name. I think Rez deserves to be on it, just for the simple fact that it's fucking weird. And I think like you can sum up the Dreamcast with the word weird. But I do think like we're if we put Rez on the list, like we got to put Sonic Adventure 2 on like as the last one, just to kind of close it out.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, so we made Rez.
Yeah.
All right. So our definitive. You want to lock this in?
I'm ready to lock in this imaginary list that we made for just for fun.
All right. We're gonna make 10 of hundreds. Marvel versus Capcom 2, Soul Calibur, Power Stone, Sonic Adventure, Phantasy Star Online, Crazy Taxi, Resident Evil Code Veronica, Samba de Amigo, Space Channel 5, Guys of Arcadia, Jet Set Radio, Choo Choo Rocket, Bomberman Online, San Francisco Rush 2049, Typing of the Dead, Shenmue, Grandia 2, Ikaruga, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, Rez, and Sonic Adventure 2. That's badass.
Yeah, I'd buy that book. I'd buy that fucker on the spot.
Yeah, well,
I would buy that on the spot.
I honestly, dude, I was really excited about this one. I'm excited about the next one that we do too, because I've got that list going and I'm having a hard time whittling that one down too. We were talking about the Xbox. But Dreamcast is it holds a very special place in my heart, as I know it does yours. But I was really kind of nervous to compare our lists, but with them being so similar to each other, like it makes my heart sing.
Like that's one of those things that I just like I said, was saying earlier, I love about doing this podcast, because it's like 80% of the stuff, maybe even 75% of the time, me and you are on the same page. But then like when those two pages go separate, when that 25% is like, it's completely in the air. I have no idea what those 25 answers are going to, 25% of the answers are going to be. And I feel like mine are pretty out of nowhere too. So we're just like,
yeah,
we come together on like, oh yeah, okay, of course, Sonic Adventure is going to be on this list. Of course, Marvel's Capcom 2, Power Stone, you know, these are all staples. And then it's like, I'm like, Space Channel 5 or we're all dying. And then like, it's just like, they're so randomly so different. I love it. I love like, and it's like one of those things where like, I mean, I know that my crazy anime taste is sometimes just like, pew, off in left field. But as a person who plays so many games, if your brain is like, no, this game needs to be on the list, it makes me think like, okay, well, I haven't played that. If Brett is telling me it needs to be on the list, I need to check that out. Like, I don't know if I've said it. I probably have. But like, when Brett told me that one of his favorite games of all time was the new God of War, I literally bought it like a week later. It wasn't on my radar, wasn't on my list, but he was like, this game is amazing. I think everyone should play it. I was like, that's enough for me. Sold. I'm buying it. And I bought it and played it. I loved it.
That means a lot to me, dude. I have a funny Space Channel 5 story, if we got a second.
Go for it.
So you remember, I used to work at a video game store called Game Exchange, and they would have demo units out there, and they were trying to figure out like what games to put in there and all that. And you know, at that point I had a pretty small Dreamcast collection, but like I had Space Channel 5. I didn't like it super much, but like, it's just one of those things that I just didn't get it, but I thought it was hilarious. I actually got them to put that game in the demo unit, so like that music would play all day long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was me trolling everybody there.
I would have, if I worked there, I would have been bopping to that all day long. Like Space Channel 5. Space Channel 5 had some of my favorite music, and I still like remember some of the like it's been years since I played Space Channel 5, and I can still remember some of like Ooh La La's like rhythm beats, like do choo 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 do 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 choo 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 da na 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 woo. I could still remember it. I still have it in my head.
Oh man, I'm not going to be able to go to bed tonight. A lot of it I kind of put out of my head, which is kind of funny. Did you know they did a sequel to that?
Oh, yeah.
It was for the Wii, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Nights in the Dreams.
Freaking Nights, man. Yeah. I remember playing the crap out of Nights, and I also remember having no idea what that fucking game was about.
Oh, dude, none of us do. I I have it on my Xbox. It's backwards compatible, and that's one of the few things that Xbox actually does right anymore. I was trying to show it to Drake, and he kind of looked at me, and I kind of looked at him. He's like, "Dad, why is this like this? Is this considered fun?"
And I'm like, I can't answer that question. I can't. Like, I don't know.
I don't. I was like, well, I don't think so. Maybe.
It's more like
I was just starting to question my whole existence.
Yeah, it's more like I remember liking it, but I can't tell you why.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
How much are we gonna charge for this Dreamcast Mini?
I don't know. One of the best selling points of the Dreamcast was, and when it came out, it was affordable, so $50. It was
cheap. $50.
Yeah.
I like it. Heck yeah. And we're going to put a VMU in every single one of them.
That's right. The freaking chow walking around on your screen. You don't know why?
Oh, yeah, dude. Nope. I always loved Code Veronica, dude. I like your little health meter and stuff. So good.
Dreamcast, it had so many of these little, just like, these weird little things that were just attached to the system itself. Like, the VMUs were a thing. Like, it's just so many of these little things that, like, Sega did right, but just, I don't know, they just couldn't pull it together. But I feel like if you took the Dreamcast and it had like the financial backing of the Xbox, we'd still be playing Dreamcast.
I hope we do Xbox next, because I do feel like it's the next natural step. I always looked at the Xbox as Dreamcast too. That's how, like, I bought it for Halo, but I also bought it for the Sega support, and Sega really, they supported the absolute heck out of the Dreamcast. So
yeah, I really
hope that's where we get next.
I really remember, like, there was this like small clip of time. And this was Xbox and Xbox 360, like when the 360 first came out. There was a small clip of time where, like, LAN parties became a thing. Like,
oh yeah,
we stole it from PC gamers for like 2 years, and we were just like, people just bring their Xbox. Like, you could like Xbox, like the original, not the original so much, but the original and Xbox 360 controllers specifically, though, those things were like candy. You could just like reach in a drawer at someone's house and there's like 5 Xbox controllers in there, just because like the entirety of the Xbox 360 at that point was just like, play Halo 3 with everybody you know. So like, you always had to have 4 controllers, like, at all times.
Yep.
Like at any moment, some person would show up at your house with 3 other people, and it was time to play Halo. Like, any time, like, it was a magical little period of time where LAN parties were just like, people would get Xboxes and you just hook them all up in one room and like 800 TVs and just like go nuts. Like, it was a magical time. It was magical.
I had a television that I kept specifically in the backseat of my car for just that purpose. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if we've told that story on here before or not, but like, there was a Halo. We would get together every Saturday for Halo when I worked over at Game Exchange. It was the same place that I set up Space Channel 5. And we would have people that worked there. It was a customer's house that we actually got together with. His name was Fred. And the top 2 apartments were actually, like, my friend Matt lived in one and Fred lived across the hall. And so we would have cables and televisions going back and forth between all of them. And I remember coming over one day and I just got off work or something like that. And I came upstairs and walked into Fred's house, and there sitting on the floor was Aaron. Yeah. And we kind of had this like the Spider-Man moment, the Spider-Man meme. It's like, oh, like it just the last place I was expecting to see Aaron.
Yeah,
there he was.
But so we had a good night that night. Yeah, but I do have to, the town that we lived in, like, it was a group of high school kids, high school age kids, and then everyone above us is, like, an old factory worker. Like, they instantly evolve into factory worker age, so, like, our hometown is, like, weirdly small. Like, it is literally one of those, like, almost one of those one road towns, but like a little bigger than that.
It's a little town masquerading as a big town.
Yeah. And like super obsessed with fast food.
Oh yeah. We love fast food. The chicken wars have begun.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. It's getting heated in Kokomo right now. I know.
Yep. Yep. We got Popeyes, and then right across the street, we got Raising Cane's now. And now they're talking about bringing the holiest of chicken. We're getting a Chick-fil-A.
You guys getting a Chick-fil-A?
We're getting a Chick-fil-A, and they're going to open it up right next door to Hobby Lobby, and they all love Jesus.
Oh,
so
ours, we're getting a Raising Cane's, and it's literally like there's like a little like divider street, and it's literally across the street from our freaking Chick-fil-A. So like. Yeah. We're getting into the chicken wars down here as well. I don't understand. Is it like a Walmart CVS thing? They're like putting their stores right across the street from each other and like try and battle.
I guess, man. I think they just don't want to give up ground to the other one. But, you know, just like Yoda said, in the Attack of the Clones, begun, the chicken wars have, you know. That great line.
Yeah, I remember. I remember him saying that specifically, and specifically talking about chicken.
Yep, chicken and sand. That's what that movie's about. it's coarse, and it gets everywhere.
Chicken. Yeah. Okie doke. All right. Well, let's close out with our positives. But I kind of feel like I already said my positive.
Okay. You want me to do mine?
Yes, please.
Okay. My positive. Dude, I never like write these things down. I probably should. Like, we've been doing this podcast now for almost a year, and every single time I forget to write down a positive, so I have to make up one on the spot. And I'm vamping right now. So I'm just going to keep talking until I can come up with one. But
I have another one. If you need a second, I have another positive.
I think I'm good. Like,
okay,
my positive, dude, is just like, I love the older that my son gets, kind of the sweeter he gets. He's evolving into this intelligent and thoughtful young man, and I couldn't be more proud of him. He's dude, you know, the second word in our podcast is dads. And I think that's the most important part of it. You know, we get together for video games, and, you know, we bullshit about Dreamcast and Final Fantasy and all this other stuff. But like, the best thing about life is just it's for children. And I'm getting sappy now.
No, it's 100%.
I absolutely love what and who Drake is becoming. Probably shouldn't say them on the podcast, but that's okay. But yeah, he's just awesome. So yeah. He's my positive.
Dude's a gym. He is an absolute gym. Like, just like having conversations with him and being around him, he is an absolute gym. Like 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. IGN skip would be 7.5. Too much. Too much anime.
Too much anime. My second positive is is weird, and it's kind of the sign that I am becoming an old man, which I getting more and more adjusted to. But it is like starting to be springtime-ish in our area. And like, I went to the store today and I walked around and I found myself some like nice gardening gloves. And I'm like, I am ready to start my garden this year. And like, I'm excited about it, you know, in the same way that like, I was excited going to the store to get Final Fantasy. Like, I'm excited about it in that same way. Like, I'm like, gonna get my garden started and gonna grow some stuff and I'm gonna make some salsa and it's gonna be dope. Like, I'm like really excited about it. And I'm like, this is old. I'm old as hell. This is super old. I'm really old, but I'm not denying it anymore. I'm just leaning into it. I love it and I'm excited about it.
For a second there, dude, I thought you were going to say, I'm getting old, but I'm not as old as Brett.
Which is true. I consider us the same age.
We are, pretty much.
Yeah. So,
thank you for that. Real quick, you bought Final Fantasy physically?
I absolutely did, and I absolutely regret it.
Why?
Okay, here's what I do like a physical copy. I just do. Some random people bought stuff from freaking the Sci-Fi Network or Discovery Channel on their PlayStations. And then PlayStation was like, oh, we don't have a freaking contract with these guys anymore. So you don't get to watch this stuff anymore. It's gone. And even though you paid for it, you can't have it. And I was like, nope, physical copies for me. But for some reason, if you go to a store and buy a physical copy of Final Fantasy VII, if you don't buy the deluxe version, you can't upgrade to the deluxe version in the store. It won't let you. If you buy the digital version in the store, you can upgrade that digital version to the deluxe version if it's digital, but not if it's physical.
Huh.
I'm like, why would you do this? Why? What? Like what up here is like, this is a good idea. Like, it's literally me just giving you $10 more for stuff. Like, I was just willing to give you $10 more. Why don't you want it? Like, I don't regret it because, like, in the end, having a physical copy is going to be the best way to have it. But, like, I just wanted the extra stuff. I just wanted it. Like, I wanted the little digital art book. I just wanted it. Like, give it to me. Why would you not? Like, I just want to give you money. Just let me. Like, what? This is my problem with the entire world right now. I just let me give you money for the thing. I don't care about the prestige of having the digital, the deluxe box set and all. I don't care. Just let me pay you money for the thing. How has this become a thing where I'm upset because I can't give you money? Let me give you money. PlayStation. Square Enix, let me give you money. Rant over, but like, why?
Are you listening, Baroque Totoki?
Yeah, I just want the things. Like, it's just like, it's nothing. It's like you get a free extra materia. You get a card in Queen's Blade. You get piece of armor that's probably only useful for the first 5 seconds of the game, and then like the digital art book. And like, it's a digital art book. It's not even a physical art book. Even if you buy the deluxe version physically, it still get the digital. Like, just let me pay you for the thing. Okay, I'm done, but just let me pay you for the thing. I didn't understand how upset and frustrated I was until you said that, but like, let me pay you for the thing. Let me pay you for the thing.
This is why Jim Ryan is retiring. He couldn't live with the shame.
I can't, like,
Hiroki Totoki, please do better.
Like, as much as all games media is just basically like, hey, we want to push this DLC on you. Like, buy the DLC. How much is the every CEO is like, you have to buy the DLC or we're all gonna die. We're all gonna starve if you don't buy the DLC. Like, we don't make enough money. Like, you have to buy the DLC. I'm like, this is the one instance in the last, like, well, except for Tales of Arise, because I also enjoyed that. But, like, this is one instance in a while where I'm like, hey, you've got DLC and I want it. Let me pay you for the thing. And they're like, no. You didn't get the deluxe when you went to the store? You didn't pre-order it? Well, too bad for you. Like, just let me pay you for the thing.
You didn't get the Big Daddy Barrett edition.
Okay. I'm going to let
press the button on the front of the thing. It goes, what a fool is Barrett.
I'm going to let this podcast end. I really am. But I got one more thing to say. I was watching a video and someone was explaining the character of Barrett and how important he is to Final Fantasy VII, which is like, I feel like weirdly, the remake does a better job of explaining how important he is to the story than the original does.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they're explaining like, well, one detail that the developers were really serious about was whenever Barrett is doing Avalanche stuff, he puts his shades on. And then people are like, and then they're like explaining like the reason he does this is because Barrett has big baby eyes and his emotions are all over his face if you can see his eyes. But if you can't, he just looks like a tough, like 80s action movie guy. But if you can see his big, huge baby eyes that are like insanely like expressive, then he's a big emotional baby and he no one would take him seriously. So that's why he wears shades all the time.
Interesting.
So like next time, like, and I noticed it like when I picked up the game, because like the first, God damn it. No, I stopped myself, but look out for it.
Fun fact about Barrett. He is in my top three Final Fantasy characters.
I love me some Barrett. Okay. Let's end the podcast and then we can talk about Final Fantasy, because I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say and spoil anything for anybody, because the game literally came out 2 days ago.
Would you believe when he walked into the room and did the thing?
The thing. All right.
Yeah.
Wimity, wham, wham, wazzle. I love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Peace.